Greetings, folks, and welcome to another edition of Twisted Tales from a Twisted Mind. I am your host, Samuel Salfo, and today's episode, I want to do a little behind the scenes of my stories, like where did I get the idea for this story. I find those very fascinating sometimes, and I thought maybe you would too. The first story I'd like to talk about is called Butchers. So where did this idea come from? Well, let me tell you. I've been cutting meat for about 25 years now. I've been a meat manager. Actually, I am a meat manager right now. I started as a cutter. And I met a lot of strange, interesting people along the way. One guy in particular, his name was Joey. He worked for me, or I worked for him, or we worked together, rather, at this butcher shop under this guy. My meat manager's name was Frank. He was a great guy. They both were great guys, but Joey was a little off in a sense that he was from New York. He was old school. He didn't like the way we're doing things. And his favorite expression was, go fuck yourself. So that's how I got the idea for one of the characters in this story. That's how that came about. The other character in the story was Frank. Frank was my meat manager. Like I said, he was a great guy. He used to cut up a lot, quote old movies. The quotes in the story are actually from Caddyshack, if nobody realized that. Maybe you're not old school like me, but yeah, it was fun. But actually, the story started out as like just a normal, everyday, kind of in the butcher shop kind of thing. I didn't mean to go as dark as it did, but as Stephen King says, sometimes you got to follow the characters, and that's what happened in this particular story. I followed the characters, and it got dark really quick, but, you know, that's my MO anyway. That's why I'm the Twisted American writer that I am. So, anyway, so enjoy the story, and here it is. Greetings, friends. Today's story is called Butchers. Sam reached into the box, tossing a large inside round onto the block with a thud. Hey, careful my meat, John laughed. Funny. Sam tossed the steel into the air, catching it by the handle. Then he picked up his 9-inch butcher's knife and ran it down. A downward motion along the steel several times, a quick motion. He puts the steel down with another thud, and began to carve extra fat off the inside before cutting it cross-grain into London broils. These things are so damn fatty. Yeah? So what? John asked. So what? So let's dance, Frank shouted. They all started to burst out laughing. How many of these things you need, boss man? Sam tossed more fat under the table into a tub. How many we got? Frank opened the box of ribs and started to weigh them up. 10 boxes, I think. Okay, do 11. Frank smiled, tossing the labeled ribs into the empty box. Not funny. Sam placed sucker pads onto black trays, setting the fresh cut London broils on the trays. Then he picked up the full tray with both hands, slid down to the rack behind him. Buy one, get one for you. Holiday weekend. Do them all. Aye, Captain. Get right on that. Frank tossed the last rib into the full box and started to roll the cart toward the door. Hey, on your deathbed, you will receive full consciousness. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Funny, boss. Real funny. Sam laughs as he reaches for another inside. Suddenly there is a muffled sound coming from the sales floor. Did you hear that, John? John turned the saw off, tossing the fresh pork chops onto the block. Dude, I can't hear anything when the saw is running, you know that. Sam stands for a moment, listening. Maybe it was nothing. John starts to scrape the bone dust off the pork chops, setting them into small black trays. Come on, Samuel. It's the 4th of July. These fucking people will do anything to eat, drink, and play with fire. Woohoo! Sam smiles. Yeah, you're right. Sound of machine gun fire and screaming rolled into the meat department as Frank dived and hitting the floor hard. Boss! Sam and John ran to Frank as they noticed the blood coming from his back. Roll him over slowly. They roll him over, placing a box under his head. Oh my God, he has been shot. John reached for his phone, smearing blood all over it as he tried to call for help. Bastards come out of nowhere, shot everybody. Got to get out of here. Frank tried to move, but couldn't. Calm down, boss. You're not making sense. John throws his phone across the room. Piece of shit. Suddenly, the door started to open and the gun barrel poked in. John jumped up and slammed his shoulder into the door, causing the gunman to fall outward. Then he swung at the man, knocking the gun out of his hand. John stood his ground as the man charged him. John swung again, catching the man with his left, knocking him to the ground again. Now stay down, fucker. Sam jumped up, grabbed his bowie knife, and jumped on the downed gunman. Move and I'll cut your fucking throat. Now what the fuck is going on? The man smiled at him. Judgment day. Right, and you're the angel of death, huh? The man smiled again. Well, I'm the shepherd of fire, and I'm your painkiller. Sam swung at the gunman with all his might, knocking him out cold, along with two of his teeth. John looked down at Sam. Hail to the king, baby. Damn straight, Sam turned back to Frank, who was passed out. Come on, boss. It is not your time. He put his hand above his nose and felt breath. Good, he's still breathing, but he won't last long like this. Sam looks around as there is more screaming and gunshots coming closer. Quick, help me with the blocks. Together, they grab the tables, racks, and carts, stacking them between them and the sales floor. What about the back door? Wait a minute. Sam slowly opened the back door and looked out. To the left, all he saw was soda pallets, and to the right, all he saw was beer stacked along the wall. Further down, he saw bodies spread along the back room, but no gunmen in sight. He looked at the emergency door and was dumbfounded. His jaw dropped as he closed the door quietly. He glanced at Frank on the floor and sadly up at John. Well? We're trapped. The doors are chained shut from the inside. The barrier they built began to rock. All right, you meat boys, come out and face judgment. John and Sam stared at each other. What now? Oh, Johnny boy, don't you know why people don't mess with butchers? Sam picked up his scimitar and ran it down to steel. Because we play with knives all day. John laughed a little, picking up his blades. Fuck yeah. Sam looked down at Frank. Sorry, boss. Be back as soon as we can. Sam, with John behind him, slowly and quietly as possible, went out the back door. They followed the line of beer till they reached the far door to the sales floor. They stepped over the bodies of their friends and co-workers, but there was no time to mourn. They had work to do. John saw the gunman first, putting his hand on Sam's shoulder. He pointed to the side of a pallet of cereal. Sam nodded as they split up, each going around to one side of the pallet. John got there first and thrust his bowie knife into the man's throat before he could let out a sound. They left the man lying in his own pool of blood as they sneaked out the door onto the sale floor. Sam poked his head out first. There were three gunmen in front of the meat department. One was kicking the door while the other two were waiting for the barrier to crash. I see three, he whispered to John. Now what? Come on, I got an idea. Sam moved out and hid behind a display of bread. He checked the gunman and waved to John, who ran to the next display of tasty snacks. John waved to Sam, and he ran to a bunker of frozen chicken and breakfast sandwiches. The gunmen were about 20 feet away from him. Sam saw a grocery cart next to him as he kicked it, and it went flying down the aisle. All three gunmen looked toward the cart and fired at the bunker where Sam was hiding behind. Frozen chicken, bacon, sausage, egg, cheese, and bread went flying as Sam got as small as he could. All right, you come on out and face judgment. The three gunmen came closer. John watched in horror, but did not move. He knew what Sam was trying to do, but did not think it was going to work. Suddenly, Sam sat up, tossing his bowie knife, hitting his target as a display of cans came crashing down on one of the gunmen, knocking him to the floor. The other two gunmen shot at the bunker again, closer this time. A bullet flew by Sam hitting his ear. Fuck! He shouted, standing up, as the two gunmen aimed their guns at him. Enough, you pussy little bastards. The head gunman held up his hand, stunned. What? Enough, my dear little meat boy. You must be judged, and I'm here to do that.
Judged? Who the hell are you to judge me? You don't even know me. You murder all these people in cold blood, and you're going to judge me?
Bitch, who gives you the right? Your God? Your devil? The voice in your fucked up head? You're going to kill me because I don't think like you, dress like you, or what?
The gunman points his gun at Sam and fires, hitting him in his shoulder. Sam falls to the ground.
John watched in disbelief. It's over, meat man. Come on out. We know you're there.
John does not move. Very well. Take him.
John hears the footsteps of the gunman come closer and closer. He held his knife still in his fist. Soon the gunman was in front of him.
Well, meat man, what's going to be? In the head or...
Suddenly John jumps up, knocking the gun out of the man's hand and burying his knife into the meat man's heart. The man goes down as the head gunman fires at John, missing by inches. John tosses the body in front of him and dives for the gun.
So meat boy is now a meat man. Come now, let's end this.
The gunman walks towards John, near where Sam is lying bleeding.
Oh yes, little man, you have been judged.
Sam grabs the gun, gunman's leg tripping him. The gunman fires at him, again hitting him in the head, ending his life.
John ran toward the gunman, at the same time kicking him in the head. He rolls the gunman over, putting his gun in his mouth, pulling the trigger.
Piece of shit.
John scanned the scene. The blood, guts, and bodies of his friends, neighbors, and coworkers littered the store.
He glanced over Sam's body, his brains splattered all over the frozen case mixed with the gunman's. A tear runs down his face as the morning time begins as the death and loss sink in. Just then, the police burst through the front door. They all pointed their guns at John, who raised his hand above his head.
Oh, my Lord, what happened here?
Judgment Day is here, and I alone stand at the threshold of hell.
All right, so my next story I'd like to talk about. It's called God's Scar. Now, this story was a really interesting story for me to write. It started off with just a guy saying, oh my God, being stabbed by this girl. And at first, I wasn't sure where to go with this particular tale because I didn't know what her motives were and why she was stabbing this guy in the first place. It was just basically a random act of violence. And, you know, that happens, obviously, in many tales and many places. Sorry about the rain. It's raining here. Just so you know, that's what that bounding is. Anyway, so the tale became, I expanded the tale by thinking about, well, why is she doing this? Where did she come from? And I think it turned out pretty well for what it was. You know, it's about a girl who gets kidnapped as a little girl by this guy, and she becomes his slave, and he turns her into this. So it made me think about, you know, what makes a person act a certain way, about environment, genetics, or, you know, is it something else altogether? And I think it turned out pretty well for what it was. I hope you enjoy it, and, well, here it is.
All right, folks, this last one is going to be a little tough for some of you, but it's called God's Scar. Oh, my God. The blood splattered her face. Amy climbed to the top of the slide. She looked out over the playground. She saw her mother talking to one of the other mothers. She yelled it to her, Mommy, watch this. Her mother didn't even look at her. She sat down and slid to the bottom. Suddenly, a man grabbed her and took off running.
Oh, my God!
The knife arched again as it sunk deeper into the sleeping man's chest. Amy sat on the bed crying when the man came in. He looked at her and smiled. It's okay, little one. I will not hurt you. He reached out and brushed back her hair from her face.
I want my mommy,
she pulled away from him. Oh, my dear little one, your mommy told me to take you somewhere and keep you safe. This is why you are here, so you will always be safe. He handed her a plate with a hot dog and chips on it. Now here, do eat something, little one. He turned and walked to the door. Don't worry, I will always keep you safe.
He shut the door and locked it. Amy watched him leaving and then looked around the room. The room was small with nothing but a bed, small dresser, and no windows. The only light she had was a small bulb that hung from the ceiling. She started to cry again as memories of home flooded her mind. Oh, my God. The man's bloodshot eyes sprang open. The man rolled off of her, out of breath. Good girl. You are my good girl, aren't you? Yes, I am, master. Oh, my little one, you are so obedient. I think you can go outside today. Amy got excited. Can I really? Oh, that would be wonderful, master. The man stood up and reached for his robe. We shall see, but first go and wash yourself, you filthy girl. As you wish, master. Amy slid off the bed and walked to the bathroom. She opened the door and went in. She started to close the door behind her. No, how many times have I told you? Yes, master. Amy opened the door wide, turned in the shower, and stepped in as the man watched her leering at his prize. Oh my God! She jerked the knife out again, tossing the blood all over the room. Amy lay on the bed and staring at the ceiling when she heard the lock click and the door opened. Come, girl, it's time for you to go outside. Really, master? Of course. Come, get dressed. Oh, my God. The knife came down, connecting with the man's heart. Amy stepped outside and looked around. She was surrounded by woods on all sides. Now, my good girl, you see, there is nowhere to go. You are mine forever. Do you understand? Amy lowered her head in obedience. Oh, my. The man reached. His hand fell. Amy lay on the bed, staring at the ceiling. The man, her master, lay next to her, snoring. She reached under the mattress, grabbing the knife. Oh! The knife twisted, his heart severing the veins like broken wires. Amy slid off the bed softly, quietly, not making a sound. The anger arose inside her as she raised the knife she had stolen from him the night before. My! The blood covered the bed, squirting out of the numerous wounds throughout his body. He stole her from her mother, raised her to be his slave. Now she was like him, so she will end this nightmare. God! The girl slid off the bed. Why? She looked in the mirror, the naked, scarred, and shattered body stared back at her. Her expression grew blank. No remorse, no tears, nothing. He had taken everything from her. Now she had taken everything from him. She stepped into the shower, letting the water wash away the blood, but not the pain. For the man may be gone, but the pain will never leave her. Soon she leaves this place of torture, the body resting where it lie, the bloody tools he used on her cleaned and tucked neatly away in their secret places. She takes her first real steps into the world she never knew. The thoughts race through her mind, the memories, the feelings, and the pain, her strength, her attitude, and her shield. Her face is blank, cold, and without feeling. Her transformation is complete. The mountain was steep, but she walked down it with little effort. The branches cut her legs and arms, but she did not feel them. The blood flowed from many different spots on her body as old scars began to open. On she walked at a remarkable pace, her bare feet pressing down on the sharp rocks, leaving a trail of bloody footprints behind her. She reached the bottom of the mountain. Her body was layered with a dress made of blood. Her hands looked like bloody soaked gloves. Her feet and legs, blood-soaked, blood socks and skeleton shoes. She continued to walk at her steady pace, feeling nothing. She approached the highway. The cars flew by, back and forth, at high speeds. She walked down the highway without so much as a glance to the left or the right. The impact was fatal as she flew into the air, bouncing off the guardrail and landing in the ditch. Cars slid to a stop on either side of the highway as drivers ran to her side. She was gone. Many of the people who came to her tried to help, but she was beyond that now. She had been beyond help for a long time now. Her life was gone the day the man snatched her from the playground. Oh, so many years ago, she had been one of God's children then. Now she is nothing more than God's scar. just another scam on this thing we call humanity.
So the next story is called Traffic Jam. Now this story to me was fun to write. It just came out of nowhere. I was driving home one day and I just hit me. Because, you know, anybody that's been stuck in traffic, especially in Florida. Well, I live in Florida, so I drive 19 all the time. And that thing's always wall-to-wall traffic in the afternoon, especially coming home. And, you know, I just thought, you know, what would it be like, you know, this guy driving home, stuck in traffic, and then something out of the ordinary happens. You know, very odd. So that's where this story came from. And like I said, it was fun to write, and I thought maybe, you know, most people would enjoy it because, you know, everybody knows what it's like to be stuck in traffic. So, you know, so in the science fiction element of it was, you know, kind of just there. It just hit me out of nowhere. So like I said, I hope you enjoy it. And that's kind of the story behind it. And so here it is.
Okay, my fellow listeners. So my last story is something we could all relate to. I call it traffic jam. The traffic on 19 was always sucks because there was always some idiot in front of me going slower than speed limit and some dumbass behind me trying to push me into some idiot in front of me. So was my life as a vendor. The only advantage I had was I was bigger than most of them and most of them weren't dumb enough to fuck with me. Plus, I got home before the bad traffic starts most days. This day was different. Something happened that I could not explain, but I will try. I had just hit my last store and was heading back to the depot. It was around 2:55 in the afternoon. I know it sounds like a short day to most of you normal people, but my day starts at 3 in the morning, so you know, blow. Anyway, I was heading back to the warehouse to turn in my truck when this motherfucker in a 4x4 pickup in front of me slams on his brakes. I just caught it in time, slamming on my brakes, veering into the right lane a little. My truck slid to a stop, just missing the pickup. 2 seconds slower, and the 2x4 sticking out the back of his truck would have went into my face. I looked at my mirrors, examined the area in front and behind me. Traffic was backed up both ways, in front and behind me. I looked up, and the light was green, but as usual, we weren't moving. I took a drink of my soda when I saw it. It came slowly at first. Out of the corner of my eye, I thought it was a cop coming down the right lane with his lights on. Great, another accident. Dumbasses just will never learn to drive down here. Then, as it got closer, I realized it was not a cop car. In fact, it was not a car at all. What the hell is that? Drop, drop, drop. Oh, great. Here comes the rain. Must be 3 o'clock. Glanced to my right mirror, and the light was gone. I must be tired, or at least more tired than usual. I looked ahead and saw that the dumbass in the pickup was moving again. Took my foot off the brake and coasted about 10 feet before I had to hit the brakes again. Man, these old people need to go back to where they came from. Then the light came again, this time from in front of me. It was bright and flashed a rainbow of colors. It flew above my truck, zipping back and forth. I watched it with the awe of a little kid with a new toy. Then it flew over the top of my truck, and I felt a wind through my open window. One from the guy behind me broke my trance as I realized the traffic in front of me was moving again. I stepped on the gas, propelling the truck forward. I moved about 3 or 4 blocks when I had to stop at a red light. The pickup in front of me made it through, and I said, good riddance to him. That's when the light appeared again. The rain had stopped, and I could see it clear as day. It was, it can't be. I have heard about people seeing spaceships all over the world, as well as seeing a few videos, but they were fakes, weren't they? Aliens are not real. They are things of make-believe. Yet there it was, a red Mustang going the other way, slammed on his brakes, causing the blue Toyota to hit him, as well as the 5 cars behind him. Soon there was a big pileup all around me, as the other drivers saw it. Then ship or water it was, then right there at the intersection of US 19 and Highway 54. A giant alien craft landed in the middle of the traffic. Soon the cops came, surrounded the area, and wonderful. As if track wasn't bad enough now, this. Man, I just want to go home and get some sleep, fucking aliens. Why can't they just go back where they came from?
Okay, so that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed a little behind the scenes of where my ideas come from. For you inspiring writers out there, you know, just remember, there's no such thing as a bad idea. Just a bad story. Just kidding. Anyway, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Just so you know, I published a new book recently. It came out about a week ago now. It's called Darkness Rising, More Twisted Fairy Tales. You can find it on Kindle. It's on Kindle Unlimited. So if you just want to, you know, if you have Kindle Unlimited, you want to sneak peek it, that's fine. I'm down with that. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you again in another week. All right. Take care of yourself. This is Samuel Safo, the Twisted American Writer, signing off.